think we'll do the Christmas gifts for Jesus at this point. Maybe if we could have some young men who would like to open each letter. Don't read any names, but if you could just read if they have any notes, and you can say how much the gift is if you would like, but could have some volunteers back at the back. Okay, we've got one, two, three, okay. If any others would like to help, feel free back there. Okay. Let's see, maybe if you want to bring the box top, the first one that comes up here, bring the box top with you, and you can just put them up here. Thank you.
Gift of $100.
A gift of $100 and a note. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for this promise. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Thank you. Love your child.
Lord Jesus, thank you for all that you have done for us, for forgiving our sins, for saving us for eternity, for giving us a loving church family, for allowing us to help the missionaries, for blessing the printing ministry. Please let us see a great awakening and revival, and a gift of $370.
A gift of $300.
Dear Jesus, thank you for loving and forgiving me. Thank you for your incredible sacrifice of coming to earth to lay down your life so that I could have eternal life. Thank you that your word is true and sure, that we can have complete confidence in it. So many things in life change, and yet you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you for the safety and health you have provided in the past year. It is such a blessing to know that you care enough about us to hear and answer prayer. I love you, and a gift of $300.
A gift of $120.
Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your amazing love, your unconditional, unchanging, unfailing love to this undeserving sinner. Lord, I love you. Please, help me to learn to love and obey you more. Please help me to learn of you, to see more of your holy character. I love how the psalmist says it, the beauty of holiness. Thank you for becoming a man, bearing our sorrows, and taking my punishment on the cross. I praise you that you had the victory over death, and you still do have power over death, so I can have great hope. Thank you for the many blessings this year. I know you have tenderly watched over us in so many ways. You have blessed us way beyond our needs. Your gifts are so perfect. You have specifically answered so many prayers this year. It makes me excited about prayer and trusting you. Thank you for patiently leading and teaching me. I want to see your face with joy.
A gift of $100.
Lord Jesus, thank you for all that you have done for us, forgiving our sins, saving us for eternity, giving us a loving church family, allowing us to help the missionaries, blessing the printing ministry. Please let us see a great awakening and revival.
A gift of $100.
A gift of $100 and a note. Dear Jesus, thank you for being so wonderful to me this year. Thank you for giving me so an abundance of blessing this year. I am very grateful for all that you have taught me about yourself throughout this year, but especially during this Christmas season. Thank you for being so faithful to me, my wonderful Savior.
Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for food, clothes, and a wonderful house. Thank you. Love one of your servants.
Dear Jesus, thank you so much for carrying me through another year. Thank you for the blessings and safety you have provided as we traveled this year. Thank you for the opportunities of ministry you opened up for our family this year. I look forward to seeing your hand at work in this new year, and a gift of $20.
A gift of $50. A gift of $20.
A gift of $5 and a note. Thank you, dear Jesus. I thank you for family and friends, for gifts and food and things you send, for brothers, sisters, and uncles and aunts, for cousins and parents. I thank you for sun, moon, and stars, for buses and phone and cars, for trucks and bikes and boats, for wheat and corn and oats, for rice and barley and peas, for cows and horses, butterflies and bees. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace. Help me with boldness, situations to face.
Dear Jesus, I love you. Thank you for dying on the cross and being in the manger, and a gift of $12.
Dear Jesus, thank you for all that you have given us, for loving us so much you were willing to suffer and give your life for us, for having the patience to forgive our sins over and over and over again, for placing us in this country where we have the freedom to worship you, for bringing us to this church family that truly heeds the Bible, forgiving as warm homes, clothing, or forgiving us warm homes, clothing, and plenty to eat, for choosing our hearts to know you, and a gift of $100.
A gift of $200.
A gift of $20.
Dear Jesus, I thank you for a house, a bed, and especially food. But most importantly, I thank you for salvation. You have been so good to me, and I could never repay you for all you have done for me. First you created me, then you saved me, and now you help me through each step of the way, and a gift of $10.
A gift of $60.
A gift of $40.
A gift of $250 and a note. Your Father knoweth what things we have need of before ye ask him. Matthew 6:8. Dear Jesus, I appreciate all you do for me. Thank you for many blessings.
A gift of $300.
A gift of $300.
Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for everything you have done and will do. I love you. And a gift of $36.
Okay, amen. It's always a special time. Well, let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, as we continue on with life and peace, as we began speaking about this morning. Romans chapter 8. And Brother Jesse, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. For to be carnally minded is what?
Death.
But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So remember this morning we talked about this verse here, and what stirred my heart this week was these two deputies taking their own lives, unmarried but having a child, and then first the male deputy kills himself. A few days later, the female deputy kills her. The baby, 1 month old, is left as an orphan. And so we have all of this talk about mental health and all of this talk about we've got to spend more money on mental health. And so this morning we looked at we are three-part beings. We are spirit, soul, and body. And what is lacking is not money. In all these problems, what is lacking is the spiritual part. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And obviously, those two deputies, sadly, did not have the life and peace part of it. So, obviously, we do not want to be carnally minded, and we want to be spiritually minded. But so we talked a little bit about spiritual mindedness this morning, about the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So we talked about getting the Word of God in our hearts, in our minds. That's what will strengthen the mind. But what does carnal mean? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. To be carnally minded is death. Okay, well, we don't want to be carnally minded then, but what is it? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto what? Spiritual, but as unto what? Carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So here's these two words again, spiritual and carnal. To be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. To be carnally minded is what? Death. So here it's telling us, Paul is speaking to this church in Corinth. He says, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Well, then they're in danger of this mindset of having no purpose in life and the possibility of taking their lives. Verse 2, he says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? The word carnal there has the idea of worldly, earthly, or fleshly. Sometimes the Bible will talk about, I have I've ministered unto you carnal things, and in that sense was not bad things, but just earthly necessities. Well, let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. What about this carnality, worldly, earthly, fleshly things? In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 John 2, 15. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the what? The love of the Father is what? Not in him. So here is something, you know, we talk about mental health. What about us as Christians? What in what frame of mind are we mentally? Well, it's going to depend upon whether we are spiritually minded, whether we are strong, or whether we are weak. And the Bible tells us right here, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we're not going to be spiritually minded if we are in love with the things of this world. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of what? The world. So sometimes we think, well, okay, well, what is carnality? What does it mean to be carnally minded? What does it mean to be spiritually minded? Well, if I am carnal minded, then my treasure is going to be on this earth. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So the lust of the flesh, I mean, that could be from immorality to eating to a multitude of things. What the flesh would enjoy doing. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. It makes me think of, I like Christmas lights. I think Isaac likes Christmas lights. Right. Amen. He was excited when he came in here and we had the Christmas lights up. Amen. But I've noticed in communities where you have one neighbor that gets a bunch of pretty Christmas lights, what often happens? It spreads. It's catchy, isn't it? One person will decorate all pretty, and so the next person will say, you know, that looks so nice. I think I'll do that. And sometimes you have whole little communities then will decorate their property there. But the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, sometimes, you know, we may do things in this life just to keep up with others. You know, maybe, well, when I was a boy, I can remember when people would buy new cars, sometimes they'd leave the sticker in the windows for a while. And just as a little take, I was wondering, why would you leave those stickers in there? Well, it was just so others would know it was new, I guess. And so they would leave those stickers in there for a little while just to let others know. It's kind of like that idea of keeping up, you know, with somebody else. So the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the pride of life. And we'll look in just a moment at the word envy, but it's that idea of trying to keep up. It's that idea of not wanting someone else to be superior in some way. They kind of want to hold the bragging rights, I guess. So the Bible tells us in verse 17, and the world, what? Passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God, what? Abideth forever. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I have an uncle who is buried south of town. And he died when we were in Chattanooga, Tennessee. But he let the lust of the flesh get the best of him. He was unfaithful to my aunt. And then he struggled for a short time. And then he left my aunt and went and married the one that he had the lust of the flesh for. And he only lived a couple years and he died. And how sad. He had one son, and that one son became so bitter against God And he told me, that son, he says, I don't know how there could be a God and let this happen to our family. And he became a wild rebel for a while. I haven't seen him in years now. But he refused to go see his dad when his dad was dying. But just before his dad died, he agreed to go to the hospital and see him. And his dad told him, he says, I really messed up my life. Yeah, he did. And he destroyed his son in the process. It was really sad. And it just reminds me, verse 17, the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It's been a lot of years. He's been gone now. My aunt is still alive. And so he's been gone over 40 years now. And what could have been if he wouldn't have fell to the lust of the flesh? And so we think of, to be carnally minded, is it worth it? No, it's not worth it. If you go back there to Romans 8:6, what did it tell us? For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. How true. That carnal mindedness brought him death. So where is our treasure? We don't want to be carnally minded. We don't want to be like these two deputies and mess up their lives and then take their lives. We don't want to end up like that. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. So how can we be strong mentally? You know, like I said this morning, every time there's a shooting, the first thing they talk about is taking away our guns. And then they talk about, oh, we need to pump more money into mental health. We don't need more money pumped into mental health. We need the spiritual aspect brought forth, the need. In Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves what? Treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will what? Your heart be also. So where is my treasure tonight? Because that's where my heart is going to be. Am I carnally minded? Am I earthly minded? Or am I spiritually minded? Because if I'm carnally minded, I have my mind and heart focused on all these things that are so temporary. They're all going to pass away. And, you know, we can have things that can just distract us. So we were out witnessing yesterday, and Brother Jesse was talking about things. And as we pull into yards, the first yard I think we pulled into, there was an old backhoe. There was a fifth wheel. There was a boat. I don't know, Brother Jesse. I don't know what else. There was a lot of things. Some of them lying in the driveway and some back on the property. And just, it's like, and I think it was Brother Jesse that just mentioned, you know, the more stuff we have, the more time it takes, you know, whether it's to upkeep it or fix it, or the more you have, the more you have that breaks, you know, that's about it. So it just where's our treasure? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So are we spiritually minded? Because spiritually minded brings what? life and peace. Carnally minded brings what? Death. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Where is our treasure? You know, we can have things without them being our idol. Or we can have things and then our hearts are set on them. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of what? Thine heart. So what are we to keep in the midst of our heart? Verse 20, these words. Verse 22, for they are life unto those that find them. But to be carnally minded is what? Death. But these words, this word of God, they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep what? Thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's where we make our decisions, is in our heart. That points the direction of our lives. What direction we'll take in life? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If our hearts are not in the right spot, then our minds are not going to be in the right spot. The heart and mind, the Bible uses them interchangeably. Let's look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. And verse 36, Matthew 22:36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all what? Thy heart, and with all what? Thy soul, and with all what? Thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So to love the Lord with all of our minds. So we don't want to be carnally minded. So back in Romans 8 and verse 6. Romans 8 and verse 6. So it says, to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Let's go through that a few times like we do on Sunday morning. So I'll say the reference. Then let's say the verse together and the reference together. Let's do that three times. Romans 8, 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans 8, 6. Romans 8, 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's Romans. I'm sorry, I forgot that part. Romans 8:6. Okay. So then let's go back there to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. So the Holy Spirit is using Paul to speak to the Corinthians. And it says in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 3, 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. Now, what keeps us a babe in Christ? Well, that lack of desire to learn, because in verse 2, he says, I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye what? Able. They just didn't seem to have the desire to learn and to grow. So do we. What makes us a babe? Well, look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Ephesians 2, 1. Now, I've never talked to anyone who ever wished they were a baby again. I've talked to some people that wish that they were maybe younger again, maybe in their teens, maybe 20s, maybe just a little younger. But I've never talked to anyone that said, oh, I wish I was a baby again. No, there's too much to learn, walking, growing. Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to what? Course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh. Now, does that sound familiar? Fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of what? The mind. And we're by nature the children of what? Of wrath, even as others. Do you see that same thing? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We go right back to there, and now we're talking about the mind, the desires of the flesh and of the mind. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So we see here, if we go back in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That goes back to death. And so we needed to be saved. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, if we're made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, do you think that's being carnally minded or spiritually minded? Spiritually minded. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Well, verse 10, it seems like it's talking about that spiritually minded, does it not? Thinking about we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. At one time I saw in one of the tool catalogs, Craftsman Tools was offering a line of sockets and ratchets that was, I don't know if it was actual gold plated, maybe it was, but it was gold colored. And so it's like, who would want to pay good money for a set of sockets that may have been gold plated, I don't know, but it's like, why? I mean, are you not going to use them? Are you just going to display them in your toolbox or on top of your tool chest? I did not see the point, because every socket and ratchet and extension that I have, it's like, I mean, they take a beating, don't they? They literally take a beating. Sometimes you pound on them. Sometimes you put a longer pipe on the ratchet just to get more leverage. What is the point? Well, the point in verse 10 is, listen, if we're saved by grace and we're looking ahead, okay, I was saved to serve. That sounds like being spiritually minded is what God wants for us. Well, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So he's talking to the Corinthian church. He's saying they're carnal. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 3. He goes on to say, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you, what? Envying and strife and divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted. So Paul was the great missionary, pioneer missionary. And Apollos what? Watered. Apollos came along to Corinth after Paul. Apollos watered. And Apollos was an orator. Apollos was a great speaker. Paul spoke with trembling and in fear. Paul was not a good public speaker. He was just a fearless pioneer missionary. But after him came along Apollos, was very eloquent. But he's saying, listen, verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but who? God that giveth the increase. So they were carnal. So part of being carnal is being envious, divisions, strifes, saying, well, I'm a part of this group. And everyone says, well, I'm a part of this group. And everyone says, well, I follow this man. There was a very famous Baptist preacher in America. He's with the Lord now. But there was a point where there was a controversy over whether he had done something wrong. And so it was like people were saying, are you for brother so-and-so? Are you against him? It's like, since when does that matter about anything? Do we follow a man? Well, we shouldn't. We should follow the Lord. That's the point Paul was making. Now, in the flesh, sure, it would be nice to have an Apollos speaker. I mean, an excellent orator. Spurgeon was one like that, a Baptist preacher in England who preached to thousands. And if you have ever read any of his sermons, I mean, that man had to have a terrific intellect. One of the notes tonight was poetry. And if you read one of Spurgeon's sermons, it's like, it's almost poetic like that. It's just, he didn't say anything just plain and simple. I mean, it was flowery. It's like, I couldn't even think. No matter how many hours I spent on a message, I could never think up the way he said things. He was just a tremendous intellect. And he did. He preached to thousands and thousands. But these people were, you know, kind of forming camps around this one or that one. And that's wrong. That is carnality there. How can we be spiritual then? I'm just trying to hasten this on here before we close. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So we don't want to be carnal. We want to be spiritual. Well, how? We saw this morning through the Word of God. And now number two tonight, this part, being spiritual, it comes through having the Holy Spirit abide within us. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So we're talking about our minds. What do we think about? Okay, our minds can't even comprehend what God has prepared for us. But, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by what? His Spirit. So to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. God has revealed these things, what he has coming, through his Spirit. In verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Is that not what keeps us going? It's being spiritually minded. To be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. That's why we keep going. We need our minds filled with the Word of God. And there's so many things. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll just close with these thoughts here. Ephesians 5 and verse 17. Ephesians 5, 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Then what? Joy. Then what? Peace. Then what? Long-suffering. Then what? Gentleness. Then what? Goodness. Then what? Faith. Then what? Meekness. Then what? Temperance. Against such there is no law. So these are the things that we need. Actually, I was in Galatians. I told you Ephesians, didn't I? I'm sorry. I finally caught up. Well, anyway, you must have caught up where I was. So anyway. So those are the fruits of the Spirit. But let me do go to Ephesians chapter 5 because I do want to cover that real quickly too. Okay, Ephesians 5:17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and what? Spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So we're talking about what do we fill our minds with? The Word of God. Spiritual music. Spiritual music is not rock and roll music. It's godly psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So as we remember our verse one last time, let's just go to Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. I pray the Lord would help us. We see the world, they're just this thrust now about mental health. What they are missing is the spiritual part of it. That's why their minds are evil affected, because to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so if we don't have that life and peace, then we need to find out why we are not being spiritually minded. Are we not in the Word of God? Do we not have that desire to be His workmanship, to be used of Him? Are we not filling our minds with spiritual things? We want to have a fruitful year. I pray that we would be strong in our minds. We'd be spiritually minded. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, help us. All these different things affect our minds. The world is talking about mental health, and what their minds need is Christ. What their minds need is to be filled with the Word of God. And what their minds need to be centered on is serving God. May it be so with each of us this year. We pray in Jesus' name.